Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Hey, is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yep, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
Whoa, I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Get our best deals on iPhone 15 Pro at T-Mobile.com. One-year upgrade requires Go 5G Next plan, financing new qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
More listeners snoring on the phone would not be conducive to excitement over the radio show. Producer Jay has tabled the snorers. He's hidden them again somewhere deep in the archives of our audio files. Yeah, I don't know how that excites people. Hey, come listen to our radio show because we put you to sleep. And when you do fall asleep, we record you snoring on the phone. Beware.
Don't worry about anything.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Can I make a confession before we hop into baseball? I don't know what happened to me because I was a shill for the Monday Night Mannings last year. I have not watched even a single episode of the Monday Night Mannings yet. And I don't know why. Now, on Monday night, as in last night, it was because I had to really focus football. Plus, there were baseball games going on at the same time. So I didn't feel like I could spare the brain cells to watch Peyton and Eli. Just because it's a different part of your brain, right? It's mindless a lot of times. They're funnier when the game is not interesting or when the play is not at the highest level. I really do enjoy what they bring to the table. Last night, I felt like I had too much to do, but I haven't watched it at all this year. Every time I look up, because NFL Network replays their broadcast, I look up and for some reason, Eli's got this gigantic cardboard cutout head of Peyton, and it's got a very large forehead. In fact, more than half of the head is his forehead, and Eli's punching it. I don't know why he's punching it, Jay, but I imagine that was funny.
Let me see you shred that thing. Ow. I've always wanted to do this. Eli, six guys in the box, right? Playing zone coverage. They actually blitz the safety late.
Eli doesn't care.
But he gets there so late. Watch him. Number one's coming down late. But it's too late, right?
He's not affecting the
play. Crosby kind of got caught in a little bit of a bind there. He was actually unblocked.
Peyton just pretends like it didn't happen and keeps on talking football. And Eli's punching his cardboard face. The two of them are awesome. They're a really funny combination. I just haven't had a chance to tune in, or I haven't thought about tuning in, and then it's too late. And I feel like if I jump in late, I don't know. You can't show up that late to the party. You miss stuff. Other people have private jokes. You don't know what's going on. You try to get to the hors d'oeuvres table, and you know they're talking about you behind you.
What time does she show up?
Next week. Next week, let's make a Oh, no, because next week there'll probably be baseball as well. I don't know. The Mannings are going to have to wait.
I'm going to be totally honest. I completely forgot about the broadcast in its entirety
last night.
Last night.
You watched it already this season?
Not really. Not as much as last year, but last night, completely forgot all about it.
I never missed an episode of the Monday Night Mannings last week. I cared more about that show than I did about the actual game. Now, as it turned out, a lot of the Monday Night games were not as interesting, and they would make fun of, well, not make fun of them, but that their consternation over bad quarterback play is It's hysterical.
What I noticed last year when I was watching it regularly was that I was watching more for like the first half, and then when the game, if it got good or interesting, yes, I'd have to turn it off because I'd have to actually focus and pay attention. And with them, it's kind of just not easy to do.
Right. But that was my deal with myself, is I would only watch until halftime and then I would go back to the actual broadcast. Nope. I'm going to have to get back on board the train.
Cowboys Chargers next Monday night.
What did we hear from Micah Parsons? Laugh now, cry later. Oh, he wasn't addressing Justin Herbert, but, you know, he could use the same message. Laugh now, cry later.
But I'm going to say this. Laugh now, cry later.
Trust. Do you trust? That's what he wants to know from Cowboys fans. I'd like to know that from Cowboys fans. Do you trust after what you saw Sunday night? I could have used the Monday Night Mannings with the Sunday night broadcast. They would have provided some mirth. Is that too soon? Not laughing at you, Cowboys. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Monday night was the return. Well, it wasn't the return. Although, actually, considering how many Packers fans filled Allegiant Stadium, you could almost say it felt like a return for Devontae Adams to the Packers fan base. There were chants of Go Pack Go breaking out in Las Vegas because, of course, it's a destination now and it was a holiday weekend for a lot of people. But one of the reasons we saw so many Bills and Jags fans make the trip to London over the weekend. So yeah, there were plenty of Packers fans. Maybe it did feel familiar for Devontae Adams, who's now catching passes from a third different quarterback in 3 years. So we talked about playing against his former team. We'll get to that and we'll get to football. But the drama of the football game, as much fun as it was, seeing the Raiders and the Packers go toe to toe in Las Vegas, you know, it was more fun. What was more jaw-dropping? The finish to the Braves and Phillies. I hope that you tuned it. You tuned in. We needed Peyton and Eli for that one. My goodness. Do you think they follow baseball? I've never heard either one of them mention baseball.
Never once.
No.
I don't see them as baseball guys.
They like to golf.
Yeah, they golf.
They'll talk about golf. Hockey? Well, Eli Manning has showed up at,
yeah,
he's shown up at some hockey games
Eli
before.
Eli tends to go to Ranger games, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton, I don't know.
I don't either. Oh, well, he lives in Denver.
Yeah.
So he'll go to other Denver sporting events. You'll see him show up. Like when the Avalanche were in the Stanley Cup final, you'll see him show up to other sporting events. I don't know why I brought that up. Anyway, back to Major League Baseball. Game two, Phillies and Braves. Remember, the Phillies jumped out to a lead and were able to shut out the Braves in the opener of this National League Division Series. And I imagine against Zach Wheeler, first inning, second inning, third inning, as the Braves are failing to get a run across the plate, but not just that, failing to get a hit. This might have felt a little bit like deja vu, but also the pressure in your own park. You're already facing, or you're already down, and you're now facing an 0-2 deficit, which is even worse than a year ago. You see the Phillies jump out to an early lead, and you can't even manage a hit against Zach Wheeler into the sixth inning.
First pitch to Albies, and he swings and sends one down the right field line, down for a base hit. Acuna cuts the bag at second, dashes for third. There's the first hit of the night. Now the throw back in, gets away from Turner. Acuna heavy on the pedal, comes to the plate and scores. Finally, the Braves break through, and they are on the board here in game two.
Imagine how much of a relief that felt for the Atlanta Braves, whose lineup is power-packed. They've got speed. They can hit for average. They can knock the snot out of the ball. It was a record-setting season for these Braves in terms of their home run. So for them to get shut out for a game and a half and not even manage a hit against Zach Wheeler until the sixth inning, but then because Ronald Acuna was on base with a walk, always a threat to run, he challenges pitchers and, well, infields and outfields, challenges fielders as well as pitchers because of his speed. Trey Turner has a rare error, and Acuna comes all the way around. The relief. And if you're the Phillies or the fan base, you had to wonder what else they had in store. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Ben Ingram with the calls on Braves Radio. Zach was cruising along. He set a career playoff high with 10 strikeouts, had allowed just one hit. I think there may have been two walks in there. But for the most part, he was large and in charge. But you get into the seventh inning, there's a little bit of, say, rumbling coming out of the Braves dugout because they know that there's the potential here. Do you think somebody in the Braves dugout said, "We got him right where we want him. This is what we need, right where we want him." And one mistake by Zach, and it changes everything. It didn't give the Braves the lead, but it changed everything.
Travis d'Arnaud over two in the ballgame. Travis hits one well to left field, heading back to the wall. D'Arnaud's got something to say. It's a two-run homer, and it's a one-run game here in the bottom of the seventh.
It was definitely a no-doubter for Travis d'Arnaud, and Zach Wheeler leaves before the seventh inning is done. Now, keep in mind, one of the runs was unearned, and the Braves were still trailing at this point.
It's frustrating, but like I said, I kind of let them get the momentum going, and that's my fault. So, I let them rip back in the game, and it's tough. But you know what? Now we're going to Philly, and we're going to have to play at our place, and it's not fun playing there.
It's definitely not his fault. Yes, the Braves used their last couple at bats against Wheeler to find that momentum, but it was always simmering right beneath the surface. It's like a volcano waiting to erupt. It rumbles. You can feel it. You know something's happening. And then when it does, you can't be surprised because the volcano's active. Well, in this case, we know what the Braves can do with the plate. So d'Arnaud with the home run scores Matt Olson 4-3 then. Zach Wheeler's gone, right? He gives way to reliever who comes in. I think it was Alvarado after him. And then Jeff Hoffman in the eighth inning. Hoffman promptly puts a runner on base via the hit-by-pitch to bring up Austin Riley.
Has his eyes on the right-hander Hoffman, who comes set right at the belt. 3-2 pitch. And he hits a high fly ball, deep left field, back to the wall, and is gone! Austin Riley hitting him where it hurts, and the Braves take the lead in the eighth.
Man alive, the crowd there in Atlanta, just waiting to erupt, similar to the Braves' bats. So they have the one-run lead. We know what the Phillies are capable of, though, and it sets up this fantastic, almost unbelievable ending from the category of you can't make this stuff up. Bryce Harper gets on base via walk. So we're talking top of the ninth now. And after JT Realmuto, I think he flied out to center field. Goodness. It's a double play like you've never seen in your life.
Two balls, two strikes, one down. Iglesias looking into his catcher, ready to fire. 2-2 in the air out towards right center field. Harris going to go back. Harris back to the warning track. He leaps. Michael's got it! He's got it! They fire it in, and it rolls across the infield. Taken by Riley. He throws to the back. They double him off. Ball game over. Braves win. I've never seen a play like that. Braves even up the series. It was back to the wall. Harris went to the wall. Harper took off. He made a leaping catch of the wall. Fired it in. It rolled past Albies. Backing up the play was Riley. He secured it through to the bag. Doubled off Harper. And the Braves even up the series.
Craziest double play you're ever going to see. What a catch by Michael Harris.
The call there on Braves Radio. And yes, in fact, it was history. People keep track of these things, you know. It's your baseball postseason, your October nerd alert. First, can you track it with me? 8, center fielder Michael Harris. 5, 8-5-3 double play. 853. It's never happened before in the postseason that there's been a double play that starts in center field and goes 853.
Oh!
Which means center field, second base. No, center field. Yeah, center field, third base. And then first base. And Bryce Harper, he was at least 10 feet past the bag. He rounded it, flying like nobody's business, maybe attempting to score, right? Thinking he's gonna tie the game up if he can get a good jump and get around second base, the ball going deep out to center field, maybe assuming it's banging off the wall. Well, obviously assuming it's banging off the wall, not necessarily a home run. And so he goes 10 feet past second base and then realizes Harris caught it and has to turn around. And of course, he can't go as the crow flies back to first base. He has to round second and try to get back to first, and there was no way. Yeah, Harper was, not only was he way past second base, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, maybe it wasn't 10 feet, but he was at least 6 feet past the bag. Not only does he have to turn around and make up the distance, but his momentum is going the opposite direction. Has to slam on the brakes and turn around. One heck of a play. And actually, it's kind of funny because Ozzie Albies, he tried to scoop up the throw coming in from Harris and actually whiffed on it, couldn't get it. So that's where the third baseman, Austin Riley, comes in because he has to back him up. And so he's there, he grabs the ball, and he's able to double up Harper. If you haven't seen it, it's insane. And it's insane because it's happening in Atlanta. One more nerd alert for October, just because it was history. Apparently, there's never been a double play involving an outfielder to end a game in baseball postseason history. Never before. So no 853s. It's like a phone number. No 853 and no outfielder who's ever been involved in a game-ending double play. Not in October. Again, someone keeps track of these things.
That's insane to me.
It is insane.
A fielder's never caught a fly ball and gotten a runner at home trying to score the tying run. That's
not
crazy.
To end a game.
Wow.
I know. Right?
What's that?
Historic game two. Bryce Harper, what was going through your mind?
You know, I probably shouldn't have gone over second base, but, you know, made a decision and, you know, I'll live with that. Yeah, I mean, just taking a chance. Michael made a great play and then doubled me up. So, tough way to end it.
Usually you don't past the base, you stay in front of it, make sure it's not caught. But he thought the ball was clearly over his head. I didn't think he was going to catch it. Harris made a heck of a play. I mean, unbelievable. So he tried to get back and he slipped. And you know, but usually you stay in front of second base.
Jay, would you have gone?
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
You
got to be aggressive. If you don't break when that ball is hit and you don't have faith, and clearly Michael Harris made a leaping grab almost up against the fence. I was a really aggressive base runner when I played. I probably would have done the same thing. I might have been all the way to third by the time that happened, considering that a softball diamond is smaller. I might have been on my horse all the way to third. I absolutely am getting doubled off.
I know it's like a bit of taboo, but I don't blame Bryce Harper at all for this one. I would have done the same thing. I actually love the aggressiveness there because if he's trying to tie that game right there, right now, this is the postseason. So I get it if he caught out or he gets the second, still two outs. He's trying to tie that game right in that moment. I love it, actually. I do. I know it didn't work out, but I love the idea.
It didn't work out, but let's just say for the sake of argument, Harris doesn't get to the ball. Maybe he gets a glove on it. It falls. He's clearly scoring.
He scores tie game.
And that's the tie game.
And if he's not running full speed like that and Harris doesn't catch the ball, he's not scoring. He's probably got to stop at third. So he's taking that gamble, the Phillies radio said. He lost the gamble, but hey, I love the aggressiveness. I really do.
I can't fault him because I would have done the same thing.
Same.
Now, I wondered. I have to go back and watch, or I guess I could find it. I could try to find it on social or in the game cap, whether or not he ran through a stop sign.
Yeah.
Well, I guess there wouldn't be a stop sign there, right? Because he wouldn't have come around third. Aren't you supposed to be looking, though?
You're supposed to be, because, you know, the third baseball
down,
will have the eyes on the ball. He'll tell you if he's caught it yet or not.
Yeah,
so.
And he'll tell you whether or not to go or stay.
But, like we're
saying, generally, if you're on first base, you can see what's happening out there. Although, I guess by the time he rounds second, his back is to Michael Harris and his back is to the wall. So he's having to pay attention. But, yeah, that's the whole point, is he probably shouldn't have been there. I guess convention says you don't go there. But I can't fault him.
It's like we're saying, he's busting his ass because he knows.
Busting his
he
ass.
He knows
yes.
that he has to do that to score that run if that ball's dropped. If that ball gets down, he's scoring that run. If he's not busting his ass like that and that ball gets down, he's not scoring. So,
and then he gets yelled at for that.
So he's just trying to tie the game right there, right then.
If the Phillies lose, so let's just say for the sake of argument, that ball drops.
Yep.
Harper gets to third because he would have been to third, right? Maybe. I guess he would have been to third.
He would have been to third probably,
right.
Yeah.
He gets to third. Because it's a center field ball, I don't know whether or not Nick gets to second. But either
probably
way,
not, yeah.
I mean, then you've got an open base. There's a chance for a double play there. If he gets left on third and they don't score and don't tie the game.
It's Harper had a bad read on the ball.
Yeah.
So.
I think I'd rather go down being aggressive, especially when you're playing from a position of strength because the Phillies already had the one win.
It's the playoffs. I'd go for the win now. And that was it. I don't know.
All right.
I like
good
it.
For you, Bryce Harper. Jay and I are on your side. Maybe nobody else is. It'd be interesting to hear the reaction from Philadelphia Sports Radio today about Bryce Harper and whether or not they're on board with him going like that. And yes, again, convention says you stop before you get to second base and you wait, but
fifth inning, sixth inning, I don't love it. Ninth inning right there, that moment, I don't mind it.
Yeah. All right. We're on board. Way to go, Bryce. We'll hear the Phillies version of the call because it's a little bit different. And of course, we got to get to Monday Night Football. Packers and Raiders and Jordan Love is not Aaron Rodgers, at least not this year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. That's just mean. CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
Maybe you're still new to this whole EV thing, but those range fears? Turns out your all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 gets you to work and back all week on a single charge. And now every Ioniq 5 comes with a complimentary EV charger and up to $600 installation credit. When it comes to embracing change, we're thinking of every mile. Hyundai, it's your journey. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2023 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions, and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
After Hours Podcast.
Four in the ninth. W's two outs left to work with. Iglesias at the belt. Long hold. Now the 2-2 swing and a fly ball right center field. It's deep. Harris going back to the track near the wall. He will jump and he makes the catch. Harper's around second. Has to double back through the infield. He'll slide into first. He's out. It was Austin Riley who took the throw from Michael Harris, and he throws out Bryce Harper, who took a gamble and lost. And so have the Phillies.
We just seen the slow-mo here. I didn't know that he went to pass second, so I threw it in. Then there was a moment where I was like, oh, because he could have made it back. And then Albies whiffed on it, and I guess Riley was right there in the right spot to make the throw, made an incredible throw, and got him out.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Michael Harris said it was all happening in slow-mo. He didn't even realize that Bryce Harper was past second base. And he actually uses the same word I use. And if you watch Ozzie, he does kind of whiff on it. He goes for the ball and misses it. But it's not like Harris was attempting to make the throw back in to catch Harper because he didn't realize it. So also a heads-up play for Austin Riley, who's backing up, which is the little league thing to do, right? You're supposed to back up in particular positions based on where you play on the field. Almost every guy has someone he's responsible for backing up, or an area he's responsible for backing up. And Austin Riley did not forget in the excitement and the tension of that moment. He went to back up and was there, right place, right time, and heads up throw then to first base. And they didn't double Harper off by much. I mean, they got him by a step or two because he had gotten back on his horse to try to race around second again. By the time Riley got the ball, it was going to be a close call, but they did get him at first. The call there on Phillies radio with Scott Fransky. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So Travis d'Arnaud is the one who smacked the home run in the seventh inning off Wheeler, chased Wheeler at this point, and put the Braves in position to rally all the way. But honestly, it kind of felt like it was happening anyway, right? You could feel that the Braves were coming back. I don't know. Maybe it's me. I'm alone on my island. I was not at all surprised when the Braves completed the comeback.
Every playoff win's exciting. I think the way it ended was one of the most exciting games, ending two games I've ever seen as far as a defensive standpoint, where you got Money Mike making a crazy catch on the wall and
Money Mike,
us doubling up Harper to close it out. It was really emotional, especially the way we came back. So it was one of my favorite postseason games ever.
I didn't know if he's going to run out of room. Then after he caught it, you know, it's kind of you go hoarse yelling. Great play by Austin. Great play by Michael, number one. But then the wherewithal of Austin, you know, to continuing to watch the play and then make the big out.
Brian Snitker in front of what was clearly the replay that was taking place behind him of that magical moment for the Braves. So maybe this is the turning point of their postseason. I don't know this. They're going to encounter a raucous, electric atmosphere. Not that they are unfamiliar with that. Phillies not either, though. They're not intimidated by being in front of Braves fans, and the Braves will feel the exact same way. Clearly, the Diamondbacks not at all nervous or intimidated by playing in L.A., a place where they're extremely familiar.
Out of the stretch, the pitch, and a shot to center. Hit it pretty well. Back at the warning track, back at the wall, caught by Outman. A run will come in to score. That's Carroll, and on to third base goes Marte, and there's one away. Here's a stretch. 2-2 pitch for Miller with runners at second and third, one out. And a ground ball to short. That'll score a run. Marino's retired, but on the play, Marte scores from third base. Two outs in the inning, but a 2-0 Diamondback lead. And the pitch on the way to Gurriel. And a shot to center, base hit. 3-0 Diamondbacks as Pham comes in to score. And the Diamondbacks' bats are still alive and well here at Dodger Stadium tonight.
First against Clayton Kershaw with what was 70 runs in the first inning of the opener. And then against Bobby Miller, who's starting game two. And the Diamondbacks put up a three spot in that opener. Really impressive. And this time it wasn't by way of the home run. It's a sac fly, which meant they had a lot of traffic on the bases, right? A ground out and an RBI single. Just chopping wood to get those three runs in the first inning. And yet, same result. The Diamondbacks never trail in game number two. Their pitching staff has held up. Zach Gallen got into the sixth inning, gave up just a couple of runs. And the bullpen, scoreless the rest of the way. Of course, it was dicey. In the sixth inning, Dodgers had the bases loaded, couldn't bring anybody around. They end up leaving seven on base, but this is not something that you hear about the Dodgers a lot. 1-for-6 with runners in scoring position. Just could not capitalize on the opportunities that they had. Diamondbacks now have the big bad brother in an 0-2 hole heading back to Phoenix, and they're sold out for Wednesday's game. Last time Diamondbacks were in the playoffs was 17, and they got swept by the Dodgers, so this would be critical. But also, I love the storyline of, or kind of the dynamic, where just like last year, you have wild cards out of the NL West and the NL East with two juggernauts. And they've been perennial juggernauts now for what feels like a decade, give or take. The Braves, the Dodgers. I told you going back 6 weeks ago, I was worried about these two teams because they weren't going to be pushed. They weren't going to play a must-win game. They weren't going to play a game that mattered over the final 6 weeks of the regular season. Each of them had a 13 to 14 game lead in their division standings. So there was no way a challenger was going to get anywhere close. Not even within shouting distance of these division titles. So the Braves wait till the very last second in game number two before they're able to find that rhythm. And it's not really rhythm. It's just, you got to break through. These are human beings still, right? And I'm sure there was some tension. There were some nerves when they're getting no hit into the sixth inning on their own field. And as for the Dodgers, they got punched in the face twice. And their pitching obviously left a lot to be desired. Now, you break it down, you put it in the context of they have to win three games in a row. Okay. Can the Dodgers do that? Of course they can. But they haven't played a game like this that mattered in a year. There's no real pressure for them to win the division title in August. I mean, when was the last time they faced a situation where their backs were against the wall? It would have been a year ago. So it's not so much the layoff. It's not so much the wading through the wild card stretch. It's about the Dodgers. Now, granted, these are veterans. So are the Braves. But sometimes it takes a minute to get comfortable being uncomfortable again. The pressure cooker of the playoffs. Just the fact that, yeah, they've been lollygagging around for 6 weeks. Having a good time. Dancing, celebrating. Sure, we know we're headed to the playoffs. Meanwhile, the Diamondbacks, they lost their last four of the regular season. They have to fight scratch claw for all their real estate to make it in as a wild card. Phillies didn't have to wait till the last weekend of the regular season. But like the Rangers, for instance, they lose their division title on the last day. They were battling the Astros and Mariners all the way through. There's something to be said for being comfortable on the edge of a cliff, where if you don't take care of your business, well, that's it. You're done. And neither the Dodgers nor the Braves have had that. I was going to say in weeks, but it's really not true because there's no pressure in August to win a division title. Nah, they haven't faced this kind of pressure, this kind of angst, this kind of tension in a year. So we'll see whether or not they can keep it rolling in the case of the Braves or the Dodgers find it. I mean, some of these guys do perform their best under pressure. That's true. But it's a different feel. And they haven't felt it in 12 months. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, you can vote for the TD of the week. We'll give you those candidates coming back. Also, Jordan Love. Well, he's not imitating Aaron Rodgers just yet. Interceptions playing a role, turnovers playing a role. And gosh, you gotta love it when the narrative around a particular coach or a player happens to be kind of down. It's all down. It's all critical. It's all negative. And then a game like this can give you some evidence until the end, and it just doesn't fit anymore. Oh, dang it. That doesn't go along with my argument. No, Josh McDaniels is not getting fired yet. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. Oh, and by the way, Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy again. Sorry.
Greetings, podcast listeners. This is world-renowned, self-proclaimed couples therapist, Dr. Sheila. And I'd like to invite all of you to experience my couples therapy podcast, Say More. On the pod, I talk to couples and you get to listen in on other people's problems and then feel better about your own.
Say More with Dr. Sheila features Amy Poehler as Dr. Sheila. Listen and follow to Say More with Dr. Sheila on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw to the end zone. Touchdown. Peter Gangness. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touch the center zoning into the end zone. Touchdown.
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Single back as Etienne gets the handoff, running over the left side, finds a hole at the 30. He's free at the 20. Left numbers to the 10. Breaks a tackle and he's into the end zone. Touchdown, Jaguars. A 35-yard run for Travis Etienne Jr. His second touchdown of the game, and this one should ice it in London. Jaguars 24, Bills 13, 2:56 to play in the fourth.
The New York Jets.
41 seconds remaining. Second and 10, Denver at their own 41-yard line. They still have one timeout. The Jets again show blitz. Russell Wilson in the shotgun. Are the Jets going to bring pressure? Yes, they will. Russell Wilson being chased. He'll be sacked. The ball pops out. Loose on the far side. It's scooped up. Bryce Hall runs down the right sideline at the 10. 5. Touchdown.
The San Francisco 49ers.
Here's an end around and a flea flicker. Back to Brock Purdy. Takes a shot down the sideline to George Kittle. Kittle all the way to the end zone. Touchdown. San Francisco!
With a little razzle-dazzle reverse flea flicker. They flip it to McCaffrey. He flips it back to Debo. Debo flips it to Purdy, and Purdy drops it to George Kittle down the sidelines.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Steelers down two. Trying to get into at least field goal range. Here's a shotgun snap. Blitz. He's back. He throws it down the near sideline. Pickens has it! Pittsburgh Steelers touchdown! Pickett to Pickens, 41 yards, and you have to be here.
It's a go route, and go he did. That's as sweet as my Aunt Nellie's blueberry pie, baby. Huh. What a hit by that. My goodness. That's just sensational. I can't even believe that I just saw what I saw.
I saw it, and I don't believe it.
Oh, man.
Yes, blueberry pie is tasty, but at this time of the year, I'm thinking pumpkin s'mores. It's a specialty out of my kitchen. Yeah, they are sweet, and they are holiday accessible. I'm going to have to make some. Ooh, that sounds delicious right now. For breakfast, maybe? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, your candidates for TDO the week. So you can vote on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter. I'll run through tomorrow night, and we've got Jaguars on Westwood One with JP Shadrick, Travis Etienne, couple of touchdowns in the fourth quarter against Buffalo, and really they had an answer for everything the Bills tried to do. Jets, not Breece Hall, but Bryce Hall with, oh, the perfect scoop and score. It's not often that the football bounces up to you in full stride, but that happened after Quincy Williams stripped Russell Wilson with one hand. It's just insulting. And Bryce Hall then grabs it as it's about to bounce out of bounds. It leaps into his arms. The football leapt into his arms. Bob Wischusen on Jets Radio. George Kittle with three touchdowns. A play that many of you have pointed out was also executed to perfection by the Lions earlier in the day. And so now we have people who are accusing us of Lions bias because we're using the Kittle razzle-dazzle trick play, the Niners on Sunday Night Football, instead of the Lions.
And that's fine.
That will be, what did he say? Guys will be getting heads spinning, heads will be spinning.
It's going to be chaotic. Guys are going to be, their head's going to be spinning.
Honestly, it feels like the game winner is Pickett to Pickens. How many times did you hear that over the weekend? Bill Hillgrove and company on Steelers radio happens in the late stages where a 41-yard strike gives the Steelers the edge over the Ravens in what
was. Man, I'm just appreciative.
The best game of the weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo can't stay healthy, throws too many interceptions. Josh McDaniels sucks at his job. And actually, sometimes he does. I'm not a huge fan of Josh McDaniels. But even though Jimmy Garoppolo now leads the NFL with 7 interceptions, and even though Josh Jacobs is still kind of finding his stride, and even though the Packers seem to have more fans at Allegiant Stadium than did the Raiders, you could hear the chants of go Pack go. Is that, speaking of insulting, that has got to be disconcerting on your own field, and visiting fans are yelling their own chants and cheers? Oh, I'd have a fit.
I could never.
I would go to the ticket office and say, don't you dare sell enough tickets that we're going to get go Pack go chants.
It's just wrong. It's bothering me thinking about it.
It is. It's just wrong. So there was some razzle dazzle there as well. 77-yard connection between Jordan Love and Christian Watson and blah, blah, blah. But what you most need to know is that Josh Jacobs gets into the end zone, 75-yard drive, fourth quarter. Packers still have plenty of time, and they've got a chance of go, Pat, go, except that Jordan Love and the Packers offense did nothing the rest of the way. An interception, a 3-and-out, and then, oh, your last chance.
Taylor to the right of Love, 2 receivers each way. Shotgun snap, 3-step drop, eyeing the middle, pressure up the middle. Love out of the pocket, throws downfield for the end zone, intercepted! Amik Robertson in the back corner picks it off in front of Watson, and the Raiders defense just seals the victory here in Vegas.
Once I kind of stepped up in the pocket, I just kind of saw Christian. I felt like he had the DB beat by a little bit. Thought we could make a play to go win it right there in the end zone. Kind of just underthrew it. Didn't get enough on it. Didn't get it out there enough. And the DB made a good play.
Jordan Love explaining what he saw on that last interception in the end zone. Yeah, Christian Watson definitely had Robertson beat. But if you've not seen the leaping interception by Amik Robertson, go do it. Because here's my question, Jay. What's more impressive, Michael Harris on a gallop against the wall, robbing the Phillies of what was probably an RBI double, at least that's what Bryce Harper thought, or is it Amik Robertson, who I don't know if he's taller than Watson, they might be about the same height, but he got ups. Yeah. It was like he was doing one of those combine drills where you're just jumping stationary up to smack the, I don't even, what are those called? Those arms? Smack.
I know
the,
what you mean. Whatever.
Yeah, okay. We clearly have never done it. Which one was more impressive?
Gosh, that's tough. I might have to go with the Robinson. The Harris, though, I mean, just for the fact of the moment that it was, I'll go with the Harris.
Okay, all right. On the playoff stage, Michael Harris, you win. So, Jason Horowitz on Raiders Radio. That's what Jordan Love was looking at. The defense comes through not only with 3 interceptions of Love, but also holding them to 1 for 3 in the red zone. Man, they were on the 4-yard line and couldn't get into the end zone. So, yeah, way to go, Raiders. Can't fire Josh McDaniels just yet. I need a
hero. His heroics made us swoon this weekend.
I'm the best ever.
I am the greatest.
Now it's time to name the After Hours Monday MVP. I need a hero.
Burrow in the gun. He catches at the 8. He fakes to Mixon. Now rolling to the right. Backpedaling to the 13. Throws. Caught. Jamar Chase on the back line of the end zone with his 3rd touchdown catch as he sets a new Bengals record with his 14th catch of the game.
And before he was done, it was 15 catches. Yes, a franchise record for Jamar Chase. And what did he tell us the week before? I'm always bleeping open. Oh, all right. So it was just on Joe Burrow then to find you. All 3 of Burrow's touchdowns go to Jamar Chase. That connection is alive and well. Nearly 200 yards of receiving, 3 scores, and the Bengals are awake! Like the Braves. The Braves are awake. It's National League tonight, right? No, it's American League tonight. Okay, fine. We'll talk about it, whatever. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!